God's Word, reading from the book of Exodus, Genesis, Exodus, second book in the Bible, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. I'll try to move where I won't be in everybody's way. Here we go. Now, these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man in his household came with Jacob. Reuben, Simon, Levi, and Judah. Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin. Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher. All the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. And now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join unto our enemies and fight against us, so that we get them up and out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. Therefore they were afflicted them, and the more they did, they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. Praise be unto God for the reading and hearing of His precious and His eternal Word. My question is this morning, how could they forget Joseph? How could it be that in 200 years or so, they had completely forgotten who Joseph was? Now, I know who Joseph is. You know who Joseph is. Our children are taught Joseph in their Bible study books. Joseph is a big deal. For us, for the church, for the nation of Israel, for the nation of Egypt. Joseph is a big, big story. You know the story, how God used Joseph to save the children of Israel. It came a terrible, terrible famine in the land, not just in Palestine, not just in Egypt, but that whole part of the world dried up. 7 years it did not rain. 7 years the river Nile did not flood. 7 years they sat there, and yet they survived, and they survived wonderfully. In fact, the Pharaoh grew fabulously richer over the 7 years of plenty. Now, they had 7 years of plenty, and the wisdom of Joseph from God had saved the land. Now, it saved the Israelites. That was God's main purpose. But it saved the Egyptians. They would have died. They would have ceased to be a nation if they had gone 7 years and there was no way at all for anybody to eat or anybody to have anything or any crops to be raised. It was a horrible time. And they all went through it, and it was terrible. But God, by the wisdom of Joseph, delivered them, brought the children of Israel down to Egypt and put them in the land of Goshen, which was over next to the delta part of the Nile River. And everything was wonderful. When Joseph died, they kept him embalmed in a sarcophagus, I guess, to carry back to Israel to be buried. When Jacob died, they took him and then came back. Now you say, that's wonderful. Well, they ought to have had statues to Joseph on Monument Avenue. They ought to have had plaques to it. And I'm sure that it was written in the books of the history of Egypt. I'm sure the hieroglyphics on the walls told the story of the flood, told the story of how he set the people free, told the story of how, even though Joseph came through all the things he went through with, in the end, God was glorified, the country was saved, the nation was saved. God did a wonderful thing. You say, man, they ought to have Joseph's birthday on the calendar every year, like Abraham Lincoln and George Washington, Martin King. We ought to have Joseph's name on. We ought to put Joseph there. If we're Hebrews or if we're Egyptians, we ought to have Viceroy's Day or whatever he was. We ought to have Joseph's birthday celebrated. Why? Just because he was such a great man. And they all knew it. Everybody knew it. This wasn't like this was a secret. This was a wonderful thing. People came from all over that part of the world to buy food. People came from everywhere. And God did a wonderful thing. Now, here we are 400 years later. Now, somewhere a couple hundred years ago, things changed. Everything changed. They didn't celebrate Joseph's birthday anymore. They didn't write about Joseph on the hieroglyphics anymore. They didn't talk about Joseph anymore. They forgot about Joseph. How could they forget about Joseph? But a new king came up, and he didn't know who Joseph was. He didn't know anything about Joseph. New government came in power, new people came in place, and they didn't know who Joseph was at all. They're standing around and just saying, what are we going to do about these Hebrews over here? Them people, men, they have babies like rabbits or something. These people over here, they just have one baby after another, and they're strong, and they're getting stronger, and they're stronger than we are. And if another country attacked us and they joined with them, they'd whip us all over the place and teach us bad. So we're going to make slaves out of them. And they did. The army of Egypt came and they made slaves out of the children of Israel. You say, but how could they forget? How could it be that somebody as great as Joseph, somebody as powerful as Joseph, somebody as good as Joseph and benevolent as Joseph, I mean, you're not going back in Joseph's life and dig up anything. There's not going to be any impeachment of Joseph because he's done something ugly or sinister or bad or dishonest. This man's character is above reproach. This man's record is unblemished. This man is a hero in any sense of the word. And yet we have a whole generation of Egyptians who have come up who do not know who Joseph was. How can that be? I'll tell you how it was. Somebody dropped the ball. Somebody forgot to keep the stories alive. Somebody forgot to tell the story of Joseph and how God used him. Somebody didn't tell their children. Somebody didn't tell their grandchildren. Somebody didn't make speeches about it in public. Somebody didn't talk about it in the history books. You see, my friends, it doesn't take long for the history and the truth of a situation to be lost in time. Now you think about it. One of the saddest things that I see young people. I talk to them. And I talk to them about their grandfathers and their great-grandfathers. And you know what I find sad? They don't know anything about it. I see people, grandchildren, Holy Ghost-filled Christians, Bible-believing, Bible-toting, Bible-loving people, people who lived holy lives, who prayed and sought God and had power with God. You know what I see? I see their children rebel and raise the next generation, and the grandchildren don't know the stories. The grandchildren don't know who their grandparents were in the Lord. They can read it in ancestry.com. They can read their names, but they don't know them. They don't know who that was. And you know, I could stand here and throw out any number of names. I could say Effie Gilmore. Well, you say, yeah, she was the preacher. But there's a whole bunch of people who really don't know her. Whole bunch of people. I can talk about the old families that were here, that were the foundation stones of the Pentecostal work here in Clendenin. But people don't know those stories. And if this generation don't carry it to this generation, it's lost. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand where I'm going? If one generation drops the ball, the next generation does not receive the truth of the gospel that they had. Now, you say, but how could you forget? How could you possibly forget? Let me tell you, churches forget, families forget, and nations forget. God is concerned that you do not forget. When God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, it was a momentous thing, folks. It was a tremendous thing. You know the story. 400 years they had been down there. 400 years they'd had nothing but heartache and trouble and trials, and no one knows who they are. The Egyptians owe their very existence to Joseph and his family. But when the story picks up here in Exodus 1, nobody remembers who Joseph is. Nobody remembers the story. The story goes like this. God spoke to Moses in a burning bush. You see, you believe that story? Yep, I do. I believe the bush was on fire and did not burn. I believe it was in the desert at Sinai. I believe that God spoke out of the bush and talked to Moses. And I believe, like the Bible says, that God sent Moses to deliver the children of Israel. And and God did it in such a way that he was glorified and his name was glorified, and they came to know about it. Moses and his brother Aaron, leaders of Israel, present themselves before the Pharaoh and they say, we want to go worship. Our God has asked us to come to the wilderness to worship, and we want to go. And he said, no, you're not going. So they start this back and forth thing. Pharaoh increases their burdens, makes the taskmaster stronger, orders the babies to be killed. You didn't know the governor of Virginia was living back then, did you? Hello. He orders the babies to be killed. When a little baby is born, he says, oh, it's a boy baby. Let's throw it to the crocodiles in the Nile River. If you think that doctrine that the governor of Virginia put forth is new, it's not. It's old. It's as old as sin and Satan himself to kill God's people. And they throw the babies in the Nile River. They dash their brains against the walls. They destroy them. The law comes down and says that the midwives, that is the OBGYN doctor who's delivering the baby, is supposed to kill the baby if it's not a boy and not a girl baby. How about that? You say to that, yeah. Only thing was, the midwives had better sense than the governor of Virginia and they refused to do it. They refused for it to be done. This is a momentous story. God sent hail and fire and flies and frogs and darkness and blood. man, God shook everything up, and ultimately, God sent the angel of death, and you know how it was. That night, they had the Passover. You say, what happened at the Passover? The angel passed over everyone who had the blood on the doorpost or the lintel of their house. The angel of death came, and when the blood of the Lamb was on the doorpost, he passed by. But if he came to your house and the blood wasn't there, the oldest male person or animal or whatever that was in that house died that night. What a weeping and wailing and went on there. And God delivered the children of Israel. And you know how they got out. And they no more than got out of Egypt. And Pharaoh said, oh, what are we going to do for somebody to do the work? We got to go get them slaves and bring them back. So here they go. There's a mountain on this side and a mountain on this side. The ocean is in front of them. And Pharaoh's army is behind them. And the people begin to cry, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And God says, Moses, stretch your rod out over the sea. And you say, do you believe this? I believe that the ocean parted. I believe that a wind blew from the east of Sinai and came across the sea and made a path, and the children of Israel walked across the Red Sea dry shod. And when they got to the other side, Pharaoh's chariots and army was chasing them, ran right in the same path. And when they got to the other side, Moses lifted his rod again, and the walls of water crashed down, and the whole Egyptian army and the Pharaoh were destroyed right then and there. And God took them safely to Mount Sinai, where they could receive the instructions from God. That's a momentous story. That's a wonderful story. And you know what? They forgot it. Why did they forget it? The children's mothers had not told them. The children's fathers had not told them. One of the sad things I see among children nowadays is they don't know the simple Bible stories. They don't know the stories of Joseph and the stories of Daniel and the stories of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Mothers and fathers are content to turn on the television and not open the book and do not teach the children what's going on. My friend, if you miss a generation, the knowledge is lost. Amen. And how we need this, how we need in America, how we need in the Church of God, how we need in our families, pass the stories on. I don't want my children not to know who Grandma Marshall was. You say, well, who is Grandma Marshall? She's my mother's mother. She came into the holiness way when the people came here preaching the gospel, and she became a powerful prayer warrior. I don't want them not to know who she is. I don't want them to not know who Effie Gilmore was. I don't want them to not know who Lena Woods was. I don't want them not to know who Ola Acres was and who Aunt Bertie was, Wally, because she lived right across the creek there in that house and was responsible for all you guys being in this way because she witnessed to it. I don't want that to go on. But if you don't tell the next generation, they won't know. They won't know what's happening. And my brothers and sisters, we cannot let that happen. God is concerned. He was so concerned, he said, I don't want you to forget what I did the night that the angel of death passed over. So every year at this time, I want you to gather and kill a lamb. I want you to prepare unleavened bread. I want you to stand around the table with your shoes on and your hats on and your walking sticks. And I want you to receive this meal. And I want you to remember how I delivered you out of Egypt. Let us remember, the prophet says in later years, the pit I digged you from, the place I brought you from. My friend, we need to remember what God did for us. We need to remember. If your memory's failing you, get you a pencil and a pad and sit down and think about prayers that God has answered and write them down. Things that God has done in my life and write it down. My friend, we do not want to forget what God has done. We do not want to forget the benefits of God. Listen, years ago, and I've told this story so many times that I'll tell it again. Years ago, Mr. Lewis Cass lived up here on the hill. And his wife, Pearl, was down for the count. She had cancer. Dr. Caudill had left morphine and said, as death strikes her, give her the morphine, put her out of it because she's going to suffer so much. They decided that they would pray. They would call the church and they would come and pray for Miss Pearl Cast. So Sister Effie, Brother Joe, Brother Paul, Sister Ruby, I know they were there and some more. They walked up the mountain here to her house and they prayed till she leaped out of the bed from her deathbed, shouted through the house and was healed. I don't mean was a little bit healed. I mean she went out and helped Mr. Lewis Cast at his sawmill. And that's hard work. I've worked at the sawmill. That's hard work. But you know what? She didn't get saved right then. And it went for years and for years and for years. And Miss Pearl was not saved. But there came a time she was old. And she was in the nursing home in Blacksburg. And there were two girls from this church who were working there as nurses. And they were taking care of them. And they recognized who she was. And they made it their business to bring Miss Pearl to church one second Sunday meeting. And she got up and waved her hands in the middle of my sermon. And she said, I want to be saved. And we came out of the pulpit and we gathered around Miss Pearl and we prayed for her. And God saved her and delivered her. You say, well, what's the point of the story right now? The point of the story is, if somebody had not told the story of what happened to her, those girls would not have known who she was. They would not have known to bring her to church and would not have known to do what they did. They knew it because we had rehearsed time and again the story of Miss Pearl Cass being healed with cancer. God has done marvelous things among His people, and we don't want to forget it. Let me tell you something, folks. The nation that does what? Forgets God. The nation that forgets God shall be what? Turned into hell. You know what the Bible said? The nation that forgets God shall be turned into hell. I fear for the United States of America as more and more of our society draws away from the story of the cross and salvation and redemption through Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, I'm thankful that the United Methodist Church, one more time, made the right decision. You know what's sad? You know what's sad about that decision? If it had not been for the African delegates, it would have passed. And the United Methodist Church would have put homosexuals in the pulpit. But because of the people in Africa who voted, they voted against it. And they tipped the scales. God bless those people. God bless those people. And God bless the Episcopalians in Africa who made the same decision a few years ago. My brothers and sisters, how can we not remember what God has done? Our nation needs to remember that we're not here fat and prosperous as we are by accident. We owe it to God. We owe it to our godly forebears. They're trying to, in every way that they can, obliterate the Word of God from our national lifestyle. They're taking it away from our schools and our educational system. They're taking it away from our government systems. They don't want it on the street corner. They don't want it on any place. My friend, how could we forget what God has done? How could we forget the Great Awakening? How could we forget the revivals that have spread over this country and thousands have been saved and redeemed and brought to God? My brothers and sisters, we need to remember what God has done. So God instituted every year a Passover feast so that we can remember how we got out of Egypt. When the children of Israel got to the promised land, there was a problem. You see, what was that? It was springtime. And they must have had a spring sort of like ours that's coming on. You say, what do you mean? It rained. And it rained and it rained. And the Jordan River's coming down. And the Jordan River is flooding and it's out of its banks. And Moses and Aaron, and of course the Lord takes Moses and then it's Aaron, are standing on the east bank of Jordan looking at the west bank over there. And they've got to get these people across to the other side. But how are they going to do it? What's going to happen? God makes his move. And Joshua obeys the Lord. And the priests take the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders. And they wade out in the water. Don't you like that song? Just a little bit deeper. And as they waded out in the water, you say, this is crazy. Here they have the Ark of the Covenant, the very handwriting of God on these tables of stone. And he got it on their shoulders. And those priests are actually wading out in to a flooded river. And yet as they wade out into the flooded river and the water comes up around their ankles to the bottoms of their skirts, my friend, something wonderful happens. The hand of God stops the Jordan River. And the flooded river stops and everything below runs down and the children of Israel walk across the river dry shod. Now, as they come across the river, they get down in the riverbed and they take 12 huge stones and stack them up and leave them. But they pick up 12 huge stones and they come out on the other side and they make a statue, obelisk or something. They begin with the stones and the 12 stones that they brought out of the river of Jordan, they stack up. And the river comes back and it flows like it did. And you say, what's those 12 stones for? God said, one day your children will say, why are these stones stacked up here? He said, then you're to say, these stones tell the story of how God stopped the Jordan River and let the children of Israel go across. God did not want us to forget. God did not want Israel to forget what? He did not want them to forget what God had done. Forget not all his benefits unto you, the Bible said. My brothers and sisters, we need to get the word out. Tell your children and your children's children. Tell them about the Bible. Tell them about the stories in the Bible. Tell them about the wonderful things that's in the Bible. My brothers and sisters, if we don't, the next generation is not going to know. Now, sometimes for people like us, it's hard for us to understand this because more or less we do. But as a whole nation, my friend, more and more of the generations are not telling the story that's there. In just a few years, the complexion of this country is going to be, and I'm not talking about color, I'm talking about the politics and the morals and the religion of this country is going to be transformed into a nation that you will not recognize as being the United States of America that you have loved. Who would have thought that we would have been the instrument of killing 62 million babies by abortion? Who would have thought that our major denominations would be debating whether or not we could be homosexual preachers or not? Who would have thought, my friend, that we would be debating whether we could kill babies that were already born and viable and living. Who would have thought that those would have been the headlines? Who would have thought that that would have been the things that's going on? My friend, if we as a generation do not take hold of this country and do not take hold of what's going on and do the work of God, my friends, we're going to lose it. We're going to lose the wonderful freedom that we have. We're going to lose the blessing that God has put upon us. Because every nation that forgets God shall be what? Turned into hell. Now, I didn't write that. That's in the book. And we need to look at the book, and we need to study the book. We need to hold up the Word of God. I want the next generation. And I hope, my friend, that there's a revolution. You say a revolution? Yes. I hope there'll be a generation rise up from among the young people that will stand for the Word of God, stand for a morally correct life, stand for an uprightness of life that the second to none. And my friend, it can be done. And we need to inspire our young people to stand up and take a stand. We need to include our young people in our worship. We need to include them in our Bible studies. We need to include them in all the things we do, my friend, that they can have an experience with God to tell the next generation about. I want my children and my grandchildren to know that Pawpaw Eddy was filled with the Holy Ghost. I want them to know that I was redeemed by the blood of Calvary's cross and God saved me when I was 14 years old. I want them to know that I have walked with God these years and that God has been real in my life. Amen? And we need to tell our children and our grandchildren and our neighbors, my friends, the stories of what God has done. How could they have forgotten Joseph? I would have said once upon a time, how could a lot of things be forgotten? And yet I notice that they are. And I notice that sometimes when I speak of something, I never thought that I would be in this position, but they just look at this old coot and say, huh? They don't remember. They don't know. And they haven't been told. My friend, will you tell the story? It's the greatest story that's ever been told. Will you tell the story? Will you not let it drop? Get your nieces and nephews. Get your grandchildren. Get your neighbor's children. Do something to bring their attention to God. And pray like crazy. And know the Word. And tell the story of grace that saves. Amen. Father, thank you this morning for your great blessings and your marvelous love. Thank you for your gospel truth that you brought to us. And Lord, I want to thank you this morning for the redemption that came to us. Lord, you continuously have reminded us and reminded us and reminded us of what you have done. And Lord, help us to remember. Help us to never forget. Oh, Jesus, let us never forget what the Lord has done for us. Let us never forget how He set us free. Let us never forget how He filled us with His Spirit and drew us to Him. Father, may Your Spirit and Your presence and Your love now go with us and keep us and sanctify us. And Lord, whatever, let Your Spirit move among Your people. For we ask it in Christ's holy name. Amen.